Good evening. It is Tuesday. 51 out there. Great to have you here on 1320 WILS. I'm Michael Cohen, producer Mike Peterson. Tonight, 9 p.m., by the way, listen to President Trump's address to the joint session of Congress live right here on 1320 WILS. And on tonight, we'll actually get a preview on what he's going to say and if he may go off the cuff, as he seems to do in public. Also, Coach Mark D'Antonio, for the first time speaking about the sexual assault allegations against football players on his team, we'll find out what he said. But let's begin with what's happening with the Dr. Larry Nassar case. MSU, of course, investigating that. Now we have charges filed against him. Jamie White, Okemos-based attorneys representing women suing MSU in the case, and he's here with us on WILS. Jamie, great to have you here.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Michael.
Yeah, how many women are you representing?
Presently, we filed 14 lawsuits in the federal district court for the state of Michigan. There's several others that are considering filing as well.
Okay, and how do you feel MSU is handling the case so far?
Well, I think it's important to look at it from two points of view. The MSU police obviously are involved in the criminal investigation, and I think it's important to acknowledge that, you know, they're doing an exemplary job of identifying victims and prosecuting Dr. Nassar.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with that said, Michael, you know, there are obvious concerns that we have, and I think members of your listeners and members of the community have, as far as it pertains to the university itself, mm-hmm. and whether or not the Michigan State University Police Department is the best outfit to be investigating themselves, quite frankly.
What's your concern? Because we saw Bill Schuette came out. He's getting involved. But what's your concern exactly?
Well, I think, you know, when you say Mr. Schuette came out, and with all due respect to Mr. Schuette, his press conference was enlightening in some ways in that, you know, when he was asked questions in regards to who was investigating the university, he either did not answer or was unwilling to answer or deflected the answers to his colleagues. So, you know, there's just a lack of information, a lack of flow of information as it pertains to the university. It is encouraging that they have hired Mr. Fitzgerald to conduct an independent investigation. But, you know, even that is troubling because his mandate is unclear.
So who really should be investigating this then?
Well, at this point in time, I think if you look historically at the way that some of these things have played out, Penn State is the analogy that a lot of people are utilizing. I think the cases are different in some regard, but in some part they are the same. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, Louis Free from the FBI was brought in and given a complete unilateral mandate to investigate all aspects of what had occurred or what had not occurred.
Now, why do you think MSU has not taken that step yet?
You know, that's a question that you're going to have to ask the university. It's perplexing to me. I think it's in everyone's interest to get to the bottom of this.
So do you think the university is hiding something?
Well, I certainly don't feel comfortable saying that as a matter of fact. But what we do know, as a matter of fact, is that we have allegations going back to the late 90s where more than one young woman came forward and said, Dr. Nassar is assaulting me. And we know those investigations led to nothing. There was no formal complaints made to the police. And ultimately, Dr. Nassar continued to victimize young women in our community for more than 20 years.
So beyond Dr. Nassar, then, who else at MSU do you feel is responsible right now?
So at this point in time, you know, clearly we have allegations on the record that the MSU gymnastics program acted inappropriately as it pertains to dealing with victims at the time these allegations surfaced in September of 2015. I think what your listeners are going to hear in the future is that some other individuals or individual in the athletic department also acted inappropriately.
Like who? Who are we talking about then?
Well, at this point in time, it would not be appropriate for me to provide any names because the last thing we want to do, Michael, is interfere with this investigation.
Okay, because we've heard people wanting to have even Luana Simon resign, and people are even talking about MSU Athletic Director Mark Hollis wondering if he should be somehow held responsible. Does it go that high up in your view?
You know, at this point in time, you know, I think these are all decisions that are going to have to be made down the road. You know, my role in this, Michael, is to bring some closure to this for the 14 women that I have filed for. Okay. Where that road leads, you know, time will tell.
Was this an institutional problem at MSU?
I believe it is. I don't think that you can look at this in a vacuum and say that it was isolated to, you know, any particular person. You know, we have the softball program is one of the allegations that has been made. A softball player has come forward from the 1990s and indicated that she, in fact, was assaulted and made an allegation. We know that members of the gymnastics program.
Okay, so were these young women, were they telling the coaches about this, or who was being told about this?
So if you accept the allegations as they've been presented, you know, members of the athletic department, whether it was coaches, trainers, or other representatives, were informed at some point in time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we can see the progression of the culture of silence, because we know that this occurred in the late 1990s, but even if you step forward to 2014, where ultimately the university acknowledged that there was a problem, they put in place some protocols for Dr. Nassar and said, all right, well, you're not allowed to be in the same room with young women any longer. You must wear gloves. You must have parental consent, and so on and so on.
So for your understanding at that point, why did they not fire him at that moment?
That's a great question. And again, it's one that the university needs to address. You know, I can tell you what my personal opinion is, having been dealing with this for the past several months, is that there's a culture in athletics, unfortunately, not only in Michigan State University, but there's a culture in athletics sometimes where the, you know, whether it be the Olympian Dr. Nassar or Joe Paterno, where that becomes bigger than the individual that they're supposed to be protecting.
Okay. And, are you saying, you know, university officials were somehow intimidated by him?
Well, I don't know if they were intimidated, but I know that they certainly touted him as being someone who was a part of their program. And, you know, there was dozens and dozens of web pages that were dedicated to him and his accolades associated with gymnastics. Mm-hmm. We know that in the course of his employment and his employment contracts, he was paid to do public outreach. And, Michael, what's interesting about that is the majority of his pay, if you read his employment contracts, was dedicated to doing community outreach, which we know now was going into our community, whether it was at Holt High School, the local gyms, track meets, you know, wherever it was. Mm-hmm. The university was sanctioning, you know, this outreach.
Well, let me ask you this. Jamie White with us, Attorney Jamie White. So the women you're representing, were they MSU students?
We currently represent one scholarship athlete student who is currently on scholarship at MSU.
And the other women, how are they, I mean, how did they interact with Dr. Nassar then?
So there's a pattern to some extent. There are some outliers, but the majority of, at least a significant number of the women from this community were exposed to Dr. Nassar through the gymnastics community. Okay. In particular,
so it wasn't necessarily through the MSU program, you're saying?
No, that's not what I'm saying at all. Quite the contrary, you know, as I've already indicated, that Dr. Nassar was contracted by the university to go into Twistar's gym, Holt High School, you know, and do this public outreach. So, they, you know, our local community was getting this free service, you know, from the university.
And you're saying MSU was paying him, he was getting most of his pay for this kind of contracting work, is that it?
That's correct. That's exactly correct. If you review his most recent contract, 70% of his compensation was outlined as quote-unquote public outreach, and it was through that venue that he went into the community and preyed on these.
So when he's working in a place like Twistar's, did word get out about some of this behavior there?
Yes. Yes, it did. You know, people, we certainly know that there are individuals who talked amongst themselves. And again, going back to the allegations that are on the record, you know, time and time again, they were told that this is an appropriate medical treatment and, you know, don't worry about it.
Who, the people at Twistar's were told that, you're saying?
I do not have any specific information as it relates to any people at Twistar's. But I could tell you, I've been in that gym, and it's not a large place. And what the young women will describe in testimony when the time becomes appropriate is that they were literally, lined up like cattle, you know, outside of this small room in the back of the Twin Stars gym on Monday nights, awaiting to be treated by Dr. Nassar, which is where they all describe the assaults would occur.
How long is this case going to go on for, you think?
You know, that's uncertain. You know, these things certainly take time. The university at this point in time has not responded, and, you know, understandingly so, as far as...
I mean, this time next year, is this still going to be an ongoing case?
It's possible. You know, quite frankly, that's up to the university. I mean, we're prepared to put this in front of a jury and allow it to play out in that way if it becomes necessary, but how the timeline is in large part going to be dictated by the university and the other defendants.
Well, we'll have to stay in touch, Jamie, and have you on again as the case goes on.
Absolutely.
I want to talk about some of the details. We didn't get to how the case is likely going to unfold, so I want to get your thoughts on that. Jamie White, Okemos-based attorney representing women suing now MSU in the Dr. Larry Nassar case. Jamie, thank you for joining us on WILS.
Sure, Michael. Take care. Bye-bye.